Welcome to Big Blend Radio's fourth Saturday Sunshine Stay Show with the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels. It's a consortium of independently owned boutique hotels in the beautiful desert resort community of Palm Springs in Southern California. Hey, everybody, welcome. It is the third Saturday, so you know we're going to sunny Palm Springs, but not only are we going to check in to some cool and unique boutique hotels that are all part of the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels Group, which you want to go to authenticpalmsprings.com, but we're going to find out some quirky and unique destinations for to make up a really great road trip or day drives outside of Palm Springs. Of course, you can still stay poolside and go shopping downtown, but what about, you know, exploring the area? So we've got three great guests joining us. First, you know, Kim is on the show all the time, Kimberly Munkers. Kim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Tell everybody a little bit about the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels, because just before we were recording, you were saying, like, this is the biggest concentration of boutique hotels, right?
Right. Well, Palm Springs is a relatively small town. You know, it has fewer than 50,000 residents, but we have over 80 boutique hotels. And when I say there's a boutique hotel for everyone, I mean there's a boutique hotel for everyone. There, you know, we run the range from, you know, super cool mid-century modern, like the Triangle Inn Palm Springs or the Del Marcos, to very iconic properties like the Ingleside Inn that has Melvin's restaurant and where the Rat Pack used to come and sing, and that has been attracting celebrities for, you know, 70 years. So our website, authenticpalmsprings.com, is an unusual type of platform because you can go onto it, search for the hotels by vibe or what you're looking for. Like if you want something that's very quiet, if you want kind of a party place, depending on, you know, what your jam is, and you can learn about each hotel, you can do all your research, and then it will take you directly to that hotel's reservation page. So it is not an OTA website. So what you're doing is you're able to build a direct relationship with each hotel.
Nice.
And that's important because, you know, the hotels don't have to pay commissions, and it is a tremendous resource. We have a great blog called Boutiquely Palm Springs. We cover all the, it's like an insider's guide to Palm Springs. So it's a great resource. I highly encourage people coming to Palm Springs to check it out. I also encourage them to go to visitpalmsprings.com because that's the Tourism Bureau's website.
Excellent, excellent. And I want to bring on our first guest. We've got Sandy Hammerline joining us. Sandy is a writer. She's a photojournalist. She's based in LA, but she loves to go to Palm Springs. You may have seen her work on PBS through Southern California. And go to her website, avoidingregret.com. I love that name, Sandy. Welcome. How are you?
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to avoid regret at all, you know, at all expense. Tell us about how that name came about for you to start documenting and writing.
You know, I had a really sheltered childhood. I had very overprotective parents. I had, you know, a mom that didn't really like to leave home and like to keep the kids at home with her. So I always felt like, you know, my nose was pressed against the glass of our windows, wondering like what's happening out in the world. So I went away to college. I, you know, moved to the big city, moved to New York City, and it just started to feel like I have so much time I need to make up for, so many lost opportunities. And what happened is I started to really overcompensate for what I missed out on as a kid. And it's a drive that hasn't really left me. You know, the more I do, the more I want to do. So I'm kind of, you know, I'd rather do something and have it not work out great or not really like enjoy it that much rather than like skip out on something and wonder like, what was it like? So, you know, any food, like I might not like it, but I need to know what it tastes like. So, you know, I just find that that's me kind of like, you know, when opportunity knocks, it might be from an unexpected place, but always open that door and see what happens.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so then you went from New York City to LA to another big city. And so you wanted more sunshine, I guess, and warmer temps in winter. What is your attraction to Palm Springs? What, why do you love it so much?
Well, I lived in New York for 14 years. I would say the first 10 were pretty good. I got very burned out over that kind of city life, this like concrete jungle. You don't really see the sunshine because the buildings are so tall. You're always standing in the shadows. Obviously, the weather is not great. And I just got to the point in my life where I was in my mid to late 30s, and I wanted to do more, exploring of the world around me. So I found myself starting to take a lot of trips out to California to explore the desert, whether it was Death Valley or Joshua Tree or Anza Borrego, Palm Springs. And fortunately, I was working in an industry where I could find a job that took me to Los Angeles. That was 13 years ago. And, Palm Springs is such an easy drive from Los Angeles, straight down the 10. If you time it right, it could be 2 hours, which is definitely doable. It could take me 2 hours to get to Long Beach or the Valley. And, I find that it's a really great combination of fascinating architecture and like uniquely desert architecture, which I really like. And sort of tropical atmosphere, which I enjoy. And then, as you were saying, as almost a base camp for, get a hotel for the night and then use that as the central location to explore other areas. And it's so centrally located between mountain, high desert, low desert, even close to, northern San Diego County. So for me, it's like just a regular go-to. I'm there, every year, at least once, sometimes two, three, four times a year.
Awesome. Awesome. It's true. I mean, there's just so much to do out there and there's a lot to taste. There's a lot of food. And our next guest, Kevin Carlo, knows all about that. Welcome, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I heard that you escaped the Northeast as well and moved out into Coachella Valley and into Palm Springs area. And people can keep up with you on your blog, crypticcocktails.com. Tell us about that. I mean, that the name is perfect.
Oh, thank
I
you.
just envision smoke with everything.
So I was trying to come up with a handle. I had a kind of a humor blog about the city of Boston. That's it might still be up there, but I'm not sure. But I was looking to move in a different direction, and I really want to embrace kind of like the weird, the paranormal, the mysterious, but also cocktails and food and like service industry culture. And so my friend actually came up with the name in a brainstorming session. So I bought her a drink for that, and then I've been using it ever since.
Right on. And so what led you to move to the Palm Springs region?
I had moved to actually Oceanside originally, and I was there for about 6 months, and the economy was terrible. This is about 8.5 years ago. So there really weren't a lot of jobs in food and beverage that I was interested in. Now, nowadays, if you go back there's amazing restaurants there. But at the time, there really wasn't much to do. And so I was basically considering moving back to Boston and came out here on a road trip for 2 days and kind of just got handed the opening job for Seymour's Cocktail Lounge. At the Mr. Lyons restaurant. So I opened that place and I was there for a while. And then I moved back to Boston for a little bit. And I said, what the heck am I doing? And I came back out and went to work for Workshop and Truss and Twine and have been out here ever since.
Right on, right on. I love this because there's something out people just find themselves in a place. You know, it's like, okay, this is you're supposed to be there, Kevin. You know you are. You're destined
I
to be
just
a
can't
Palm
seem to
Springs.
leave. Yeah.
I know,
I love
I
it here.
know. So today what we're gonna do is talk about some of these unique places we can go on road trips. And I know the three of you definitely, and I have some in my bag too from living out in the area. But let's start about where are you checking in? So Kevin, where are you checking in for a little mini vacation? I know you live there, but you know, where are you checking in?
Well, I guess I'm kind of I during the pandemic lockdowns, I went on my own and became a consultant. So I opened up the Cole Hotel. So it's always kind of special to me because I was there literally helping to build it. I built the bar. I helped to actually construct it and put their back bar and their cocktail program together. And I was there for their first year of opening. So it's a kind of a special place to me.
Tell us a little bit about what the hotel's like. What are the rooms like?
It's a small hotel. The rooms are absolutely gorgeous. The beds are super comfortable. Very mid-century modern vibe. It's on the northern side of town, so it's a little bit quieter. So if you want to get away from like the hustle and bustle of downtown, it's a great spot. So it's a little bit isolated walking wise. There's not a heck of a lot to walk to, but a quick Uber ride or a short, they have bicycles, so a quick bike ride can get you pretty much anywhere in town pretty quickly.
All right, so you're checking in there, Nicole. Where are you checking in, Sandy?
I think my pick would be the Del Marcos. I really love small motel, mid-century type places. That too is a little bit set off from the main drag. It's a little bit closer to the mountains, so it's a little bit quieter, but still, an easy shot to any of the bars and restaurants nearby, which is always an essential for me if I want to, roll home after dinner quickly. That has a very kind of groovy, almost like a atomic cocktail kind of feeling. So even if you're spending a lot of time in the hotel, it kind of feels like a party there.
Cool. Now, Kim, I know that you're there all the time, but where are you checking in?
Oh, wow. I love so many of them for so many different reasons. I often stay at Alcazar because it's in the Uptown Design District, but it's still within walking distance of downtown. Cheeky's and Burba's is right on site. I can bop across the street to Los Arbolos for El Mirasol for really great Mexican food. There's so many great restaurants in that neighborhood, and the galleries are fabulous. So I tend to kind of lean more towards uptown. Although I'll tell you, the Talavera is an amazing little hotel. It's just up the street from Del Marcos, actually, and it's sort of this bohemian chic tropical place.
Cool.
It's owned by April Smith, who also owns Dive. Her group owns them, and it is just an amazing, amazing place. Every room has its own private hot tub, just saying.
Very nice. Luxury. You got to have some soaking time, some quiet, calm time. I think that sounds good. That sounds good. So where are you having dinner? Because we have to have dinner and, enjoy Palm Springs at night before we hit the road the next day. So Kim, where's dinner?
Oh, wow.
Or do I have to put dinner and party? Because I can tell. Has to be.
I tend to kind of wander around for dinner. I mean, there's lots of great places. I like farm. I often eat at Burba's. I like all of Willie Ryan's restaurants. He's got 849 and 1501 are both fabulous places to eat. That's the thing about Palm Springs, there are so many great restaurants. In fact, I think Michelin just has basically, I think there's like eight Michelin, not starred, but ranked restaurants in Palm Springs. So there's a lot of good stuff. And of course, the guacamole at El Mirasol.
Yes.
That is the best.
Then we're going to have margaritas and guacamole. This is sounding good. I'm getting happy. Sandy, where are you going for dinner?
I don't have a go-to. Every time I go to Palm Springs, I like to try somewhere new. So last time I was in town in February, I actually went to Truss and Twine, and I went to Tailor Shop. So I was kind of in like craft cocktail, small bites mode. Both of those were really good. And then I ended the night with some more food at Mr. Lyons, which is a place that I have gone to many times. I could not get a seat in Seymour's. So I sat at the bar, which is really an elegant situation. It's just so classic, Palm Springs. And I love a good old vintage steakhouse.
Ah, that's true. You have a little bit of everything there. Kevin, where are you having dinner?
Oh boy. Well, you got a few places. You already mentioned El Mirasol. Obviously, if I don't mention Workshop, where I worked for 3 years, I'd be remiss. Fantastic food, amazing design. James Beard Award nominated for design. The food's fantastic, great place to take out of town guests, especially if they want kind of more of a big city experience. I absolutely love Rooster and the Pig. It's very sort of modern Vietnamese and very cafeteria style. So it's very casual. So if you just want to bring in friends, you don't want to commit to an entire night, but you want to go have like a great meal for an hour and then kind of do your own thing. Great spot to go to. We've been going to Clandestino a lot lately. And that's a great place to go if you want to get away because it's a little bit behind It's off the beaten path behind the main strip. And we've been doing the Del Rey, the Villa Royale, quite a bit lately. So we've been really enjoying their we went to their paella night, and it was a lot of fun.
Ah, paella nuts. See, who knew on this stuff? Okay, so let's get on the road. Where are we going? So, Kevin, give us one spot we must go to just to kind of blow
Oh
our minds
boy.
and go, what is this doing here?
Oh, so I have two answers for that, and I guess I have to do the more sort of striking answer, which would be to head out to the Salton Sea and go check out like Slab City, East Jesus, Salvation Mountain, which is just stunning. And I just love going out there. There's so many of these sort of leftover desert exhibitions that are still out there. So there's so many art installations that still exist. There's entire little like, you know, deserted towns that are just basically art installations that are living art installations now. And so it is a little bit, it's a little bit edgy to go out there for sure. So bring your sense of adventure, bring a gallon of water and some and be prepared for anything.
A
'Cause once
full
you get out
tank of
there,
gas.
a full tank of
Yeah.
gas for sure.
Yeah. You
So
know,
yeah.
I've got some weird photography from because you know they burn the palm trees. I've got some, like, it really kind of creeps you out in a weird way. It's like a, I don't know what went down here. And then I photographed, somebody put a pink flamingo, you know, like as though it came from Florida, not a real one, right? In the Salton Sea. So I photographed it and I put it on Instagram. And people I know, like with, you know, that are just insanely smart lawyers, doctors, kind of smart, thought it was a real flamingo. I got all these comments about, like, I didn't know there were flamingos in that. And I'm like, dudes, come on. Like, you know, I'm going to do it for April Fool's again. I think that has to happen. But I want to know who put the pink flamingo in the Salton Sea. That's, since it's a
You
birding
know, I'm not
destination,
sure,
right?
but I will say some things about it that I really love. It's so weird. Like you can go on the beach and it actually bounces. Like you can jump up and down, and because of all the sort of diatomaceous earth and like the bone shells. And like the actual like kind of it's kind of gross, but basically the dead fish bones that have accumulated, you can bounce up and down like a trampoline. It's so bizarre. And the
Yeah, that would be
sunsets
fun.
there, if you catch the sun setting over the Salton Sea, it's like you're on an alien planet. Like I've shown people pictures and they're like, where is that? Like that can't be a real place. And they also have the lowest bar below sea
Wow.
level, the ski inn, which I'm very, very partial to. It's a great place to go grab a cheeseburger and a Budweiser and watch the sunset. But yeah, definitely get out before the sun goes down because it's a little bit weird. But yeah, my favorite spot, I think Salvation Mountain is worth checking. The fact that one person did that with just like recycled paint and, you know, hay bales and tires, it's just insane.
And that they've kept
It's
it
a trip.
going, that it has caretakers. Like after Leonard Knight passed
Yeah.
away, you know, the creator was living on site and building on it like basically every day until he died, you know, or until he went into hospice. And now there are on-site caretakers, you know, keeping trespassers away, keeping vandals away, and preserving this work, which is actually, as you said, really fragile. And it's like exposed to the elements, like that. It's just layers upon layers of paint on top of, like, you know, not concrete or anything like that. So it's
You know,
preserved
going
for.
out the area is really cool because you can loop all the way around Salton Sea, but you can also go to Anza Borrego, from there, Anza Borrego Desert State Park. Good time to go with all the flowers too. And then up, or you can go through Mecca. I don't know what it is, but I love driving through Mecca and you go through that one area and you feel like you're in, you know, the Middle East or something. It
Ancient
just, I
Egypt,
feel like
yeah.
I'm, I do. And I'm like, I've seen a rosy boa snake slide across like the one time and I'm like, dude, this is so cool. But you go and up into Joshua Tree National Park from there. And in summertime, like May, June, if you go in through there and you go through the Cottonwood Springs entrance, I think it's Cottonwood Springs.
Yeah.
There's an oasis there. Look up if it's like May, June, July, look up to the left if you're coming in from there on the rocks, and you will probably see bighorn sheep at that time of
Yeah.
year. It's without fail, I've seen them every time on that time frame to go and see them, especially if it's early morning, they're out trying to get water. So that's a cool little road trip to do though. And then into the Joshua Tree Hall of Horrors, as I was telling you, Kim. The Hall of Horrors. People can go there and see Skull Rock and all of that Hall of Horrors where people go and rock climb and do all that good stuff. But what about you, Sandy? Where's a destination people should know about?
There's so many, it's really hard to choose, but one of my recent favorites is something that I revisited after many years. It's a sculpture park called Desert Christ Park. It's in Yucca Valley, which is a town that's just west of the community of Joshua Tree. Usually when people talk about town, that it's usually Yucca Valley. It started, in the mid 20th century with this giant statue of Jesus sort of, on the mountain that an Italian sculptor tried to donate to be erected at the Grand Canyon. And there were issues of like separation of church and state, like maybe this religious, piece of art shouldn't be like at a national park. But then also there was a policy where they didn't accept any art from out of state artists. So there was essentially a reverend in Yucca Valley that was like, we will take your Jesus statue, come bring it to the desert. And then the artist had the opportunity to actually add all of these other sculptures, not only of Jesus in kind of Stations of the Cross kind of setup, different sort of key areas of his life, but also leading up to the crucifixion. And then other, key figures from the Bible. And this like amazing kind of tableau that's built into the hillside. There is a small rock chapel there that you can get married in. It's a very meditative place. I'm not particularly a religious person. It's just so striking to me to see all of these, very like pious statues painted in stark white, arranged among the palm trees. And, 10, 15 years ago, it was in really rough shape. These are concrete statues that are supported by rebar inside. Hands were broken off, paint was peeling, and it was this really kind of dystopian environment, which was the appeal at the time. It was sort of the beautiful decay. There's a nonprofit foundation that's, I think it's Friends of Desert Christ Park, that's come in, raised a lot of money, rebuilt areas of the statues that have been broken off, repainted them, and it's in really beautiful condition now. So it has a totally different feeling to it. Another gorgeous place to watch the sunset. It really changes the look of it as the angle of the sun changes and shadows come in. It's kind of a natural environment. It's next to a school, but it's like behind, the neighborhoods where all the houses are. So, and it's a place where you can kind of experience some nice solitude in nature in like a very unusual way.
It's wild. I mean, they have that the Last Supper, part of it. I know, like it's like I want to go put food there. Like I do. I've always wanted to go put food, like just here, have some food in there. But I remember when it was all kind of broken down, and it was a weird feeling. And I was always like, because there's an apartment complex right behind it. And I'm like, imagine waking up in the morning in your apartment and looking out at Christ Park. It's like, you know how where people are living next to cemeteries, you always wonder like if the ghosts wander over kind of thing. So that's a trippy place. And I'm glad they're saving it, because it's unique. There's nothing like it. And don't they have a little tomb in there? Or is that what
Yeah,
you're
there's
talking
sort of
about with
a
the chapel?
recreation of like Jesus coming out of the tomb and the two women like discovering him.
It's different. It's definitely different. Kim, where are you taking us?
Well, I think, like Kevin, Slab City, end of the road, it's a trippy place. That would probably be my first choice. But if I really wanted to get my woo-woo on, I'd head up to the Integratron up near Landers, because that is a crazy place. It was built in the mid-50s. And it was built by this guy by the name of George Van Tassel. And he based it was a combination of like alien transmission information, the work of Nikola Tesla, and there's something about Moses and the tabernacle in there too. But you can get sound baths while you're there. And, the geometry of the place, it's this dome, it really allows for a sound bath, where they're playing the crystal bowls and stuff to kind of get into your psyche. And it's an unusual place. So, that might be part of that. I think that would probably be my decompression destination. But Slab City always has my attention.
And in movie culture, Slab City, a lot of people have seen it, Into the Wild,
Into the
that
Wild.
movie.
Yeah.
It was in there. But the Integratron, we il interviewed a filmmaker who did a film on Van Tassel, and it's crazy because he really has this white spaceship thingy where he was ready to beam up with the Venusians. Like
Venusian.
literally, he was it's like I'm going to put the link in the show notes for everyone,
Is it
so they
Calling
can
All
see.
Earthlings, the
Yes, yes,
documentary? Yeah, it's
yeah.
excellent. Yeah.
And it is awesome. He was on our show when he first came out, but I was amazed how he made that. And you understand that, Sandy, with your
Yeah.
work as a filmmaker. Like he was just using a handheld, camera going out and getting interviews. And there are things out there, and sky's the limit would be something to pair that up with the observatory outside Joshua Tree and 29 Palms. That's interesting. They do a lot of cool programs. Looking at stars and all of that and education stuff. I don't know if any of you guys have been out to Sky's the Limit. It's got like all these sculptures from Simi Daba, all these metal sculptures all around. It's
Oh,
cool. And a meditation garden.
I've been to Simi Daba's studio in 29 Palms as part of the
Oh.
Highway 62 art tours that happened every
Oh,
October.
cool.
Yeah, that's
That's.
really cool. I didn't know there were so sculptures at Sky's the Limit.
Yeah, Sky's the Limit is cool, and they've got some of his sculptures. They have a Japanese meditation garden. Yeah, Sky's the Limit is cool. It's really, it was a, it's a, took a lot to get going. A lot of people in the community getting together to make that happen. So,
Well, both
all
Joshua
right. So, what's
Tree,
next? Anybody
both.
else you want to do freaky, or are we going to go nature?
Oh, I was
Well,
just going to
I
say,
just want to make
go
a
ahead.
point, and that is the desert has always attracted free thinkers in all
That's a good
sorts
way
of
of putting it.
areas. So even if you're just driving around, I think one of the cool things about the whole region is you're bound to stumble into something unexpected. And you can't even prepare yourself for it. There's just weirdness everywhere. And you're just kind of hanging out in people's, either dystopian or utopian or artistic visions, right? And I feel like that whole region, the whole region really supports that. So even if you just want to get out and drive, you'll come
Oh yeah,
across
like
something
outside
unusual.
Simi Daba, like not Simi Daba's, and I've seen that where he's got all that metal art everywhere. And the art thing, is a crochet museum still going in Joshua
Yes.
Tree? Does any
Yes.
seriously that no way.
Yeah, still there at Art
Dude.
Queen, which is the sort of, it's almost the, I don't know, it's this
Space
compound
cowboy
of different.
books.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. And the Beauty Bubble Museum is right next to there as well.
Oh, that raised a lot of crazy comment. That was crazy that when that started opening up, I remember all kinds of things happening. All kinds of, yeah.
I was going to say to just because I wasn't sure whether to go Integratron or Slab City, Salvation Mountain. But I will say, if you're going to do the Integratron thing, because I'm a huge fan of that era of history with the Space Brothers and all that stuff. If you're going to go to Giant Rock, be prepared because that is a long drive through sand. So if you're going to go, make sure you bring a vehicle that can actually handle it. And then when you get there, just like, you have to think about the fact that thousands of people would show up for these little conferences. And apparently the CIA and KGB were there because it was like such a big movement that people were really getting concerned that maybe there were Space Brothers, or maybe it was like the US thought it was a KGB thing. The KGB thought it was a US like CIA thing. It's just so kooky. But once you get out there and there's just nothing, it's just a big rock.
Yeah, you're totally
Huh.
right. That's
Well,
really like a twofer experience. Go to the Integratron, but then go where it all started, because George Van Tassel was like living essentially in a bunker underneath Giant Rock, which is a natural boulder, long rumored to be the world's largest freestanding rock. It unfortunately split into two at some point, so there's a bit a
The
chunk of it.
Venusians popped out.
Yeah, but you know that's where George Van Tassel was when supposedly a Venusian came, visited him, and gave him the building plans for the Integratron. Which you know is in a, as you know Kimberly was saying, it's an acoustically perfect structure. And it was supposed to be not only like a place to sort of recharge your battery, which if you take a sound bath there and you hear those crystal bowls, you feel things in your body you did not know had sensation. But then also it was built to be
Well, we
like a,
walked out giggling, so I don't know. We
I
walked
mean,
out of it
I,
when we did it
in the
giggling.
pit of my stomach, maybe I have a chakra there. I don't know, but it definitely like stimulated something. It's also incredibly relaxing, and I have fallen asleep and like started snoring there, and somebody had to like knock me. But you know, according to that film that you were talking about earlier, you know, it was built as a time machine, and it could conceivably get working again. Like the top spins and generates
Exactly.
static, and it's crazy. But it's so great that
Wow.
that place is preserved. They've done a really good job of keeping it in really good condition, and it has a great gift shop as well.
You know what
Yes.
I want to see out there, and I haven't been able to find where it is, but it has got the oldest concentration of creosote
Yeah.
plants out there somewhere.
They intentionally keep the exact location secret because they really want to preserve it. They don't want people to come and try to take cuttings of it and stuff. It's called the King Clone, and it's just up Old Woman Springs Road towards past Landers. Yeah.
Wow.
Must smell
Wow. And then
amazing after rain.
it's,
Oh,
well,
yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
so
Cat pee.
yeah.
Yeah. But well, that is one of our most ancient plants, and it's
Yeah.
medicinal, and it's really it's an amazing plant. But also out there, isn't there an orchid house out that way where
Yeah,
people
oh,
can
there's an
Gulber,
orchid nursery, orchid.
Gubbler? Yeah.
Gubler. Yeah.
Yeah,
Gubler,
Gubbler.
Gubler.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Orchids up there, which you wouldn't expect. And I know that there's like farms. I think people were doing jujube somewhere like east of 29 Palms. There were that, and then there's like the Desert Lily Sanctuary on like on the east side of Joshua Tree. There's the Desert Lily Sanctuary, and it's in once in a blue moon you get to see them. And I think this year you guys got to see desert lilies, and it happened during the pandemic when we were
In
out there. It was
Anza-Borrego, it
amazing.
was a good year for desert lilies. Yeah, just in everywhere you went in the wild.
Amazing,
Which
amazing.
is
So
a good
we've got.
time to mention, Lisa. You and I at our last show talked about the wildflowers. You know, in March, early April, even into February, road tripping through, Anza-Borrego or anywhere just to see the wildflowers. You know, it is just a beautiful experience.
And Joshua Tree, because it's a higher elevation, you'll still get flowers through the summer, like May, June. You'll get the cactus blooms, and if you get the monsoon season, like I love the monsoons. That's my favorite thing about your area is the monsoon. I'm like, bring it on. I want to see it. I want to experience it. But now there is like a bigger drive. Like you could road trip back and forth between Palm Springs and Las Vegas. Like, and on the way there, you can go through like some really funky little old towns that aren't quite a town. But there is the in the Mojave Preserve. Well, you've got Roy's gas station off of Route 66, and then you've got the Mojave, the depot that you can
Kelso
go to,
Junction. Yeah.
Kelso Junction, and they've got a jail on the outside. And that's if you were a criminal on a train, they'd take the criminals and put them in that jail outside. Could you imagine snakes, scorpions, you name it, heat, like you're paying
Tarantula
for your
hawks.
crime. Dude, no way. You know there's
Those things are
scorpions out
scary.
there. It's like what's up? It is really nice. Any jails across the country? What about Pioneer Town? We got to bring that up. That is fun. Pioneer Town is like a little Western town. Is it still going? And Happy and Harriet's for music?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Still
Yeah.
going.
Bigger than
Definitely
ever.
big
Cool.
music scene there to the point where they've had to move a lot of their concerts to the outdoors just to accommodate the amount of crowds that
Wow.
like to see it. I'm really fascinated by Pioneer Bowl, which is a vintage bowling alley that has really historic murals on the walls. And they open up, you know, for bowling or sometimes just as a bar, a restaurant. You know, occasionally that has been a hard place for me to get into because every time I'm in the area, it's like they're taking a break or they're closed for renovation. So that is a big one on my list to go bowling in Pioneer Town. What a weird thing to
Okay,
be in
so
like a Western town and go bowling.
you have the bowling and then you've got public art. So what is up with the Marilyn Monroe statue in Palm Springs bringing up the court? Because some people are saying it's controversial. I'm like, why? What's going on with her? What's up with that? Kim, you want to
It's
say
there to
what's up with
stay.
it?
The
Darn, did
Marilyn
somebody
Monroe
want to take it away?
statue is—it's a huge tourist draw. The controversy is mostly about closing a public street to put it, you know, to have it there.
Oh.
There's a strong feminist objection to it from some quarters. But it is a beloved tourism draw. And I'll tell you, whenever I have travel writers in town, they love hanging out at the statue. Sometimes we'll go to Clandestinos and then, do all, because downtown has a lot of art, a lot of public art projects are happening there. And, Marilyn is a draw.
And what about the Naked Bridge?
They are going to be remodeling that. That is scheduled to be updated. The
The Naked Bridge. Sorry.
there, you know, there's a that's a I, basically there's a nudist resort on one side of the street and a nudist community on the other. So they built this bridge so people can walk back and forth. So when people buy into that, into the housing community, that gives them access to the resort. And the resort is actually on the market right now. So if anybody wants to buy a nudist resort, there's one there.
Well, wow, that's amazing. That so that's the yeah the nude the naked the nudie bridge. Now, what about okay the windmills? Does anybody done the windmill tour?
I
The
did it
wind.
many years ago in like 2009, 2010. Yeah, it was super interesting. They've proliferated since I took the tour. There's a lot more of them.
Wow, because
And
it
they have
does
a
feel like space,
self-driving
right?
tour now too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. During the pandemic, I think it might be, if I'm, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they developed it during the pandemic so people could, drive around, take the tour. And, but the windmills are fascinating. It's a very large windmill farm and, it is absolutely fascinating. And, another place to kind of head out is Whitewater.
Oh, yeah.
Love Whitewater.
Whitewater is a magical, magical place. And
You just have to play Pink Floyd when you start driving towards the windmills. I'm just going to interrupt on that and say, play Pink Floyd and then go towards White Tank. So carry on, but you must put Pink Floyd on.
the great gig in
Yes, exactly.
the
So
sky.
tell so what's the other why did I say Whitewater or White Tank? Which one is it now? I've got it muddled in my head.
The
Whitewater.
Whitewater, there's a trout farm out there, but they've got some beautiful areas to picnic along the way. It is just it's a place where a lot of the snow melt comes down and helps replenish the aquifer in Palm Springs. So it's kind of like I don't want to say it's a like headwaters per se, but it has that feeling. Because you've got all these creeks and rivers that are coming into one area, and the air is super, like there's this scent there. I can't describe it. It's very, I don't know. It's a
Fresh.
kind of a magical place.
And there are a lot of wildflowers there too, because of all the water supply. You can see some nice blooms there.
Oh. Yeah.
Lots of dogs and kids running around. It's
Oh.
a very kind of very vibrant. It's not like your typical hiking trail. It feels more like a playground.
And the
Yeah.
water
Wow.
is really cold. It is
Yeah.
so refreshing on a summer day.
Yes.
We haven't done, and I was going to say that part, we're almost getting towards the Pacific Crest Trail, but that's more Anza-Borrego side. But have you
Oh,
done the
it's
Morongo,
I was going to
Big
say
Morongo Canyon Preserve?
the
Go ahead.
California hiking and riding trail goes through Whitewater Canyon.
Okay,
It's
that's
part
what
of the
it is.
PCT.
That, oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
connected
and
with
then what
PCT.
a Okay, I was wondering about that. Yeah, because the Idlewild is too, right? Isn't Idlewild
Yeah.
kind of
Yes.
connected up in the mountains? So that's a scenic drive to go. But big Morongo Canyon
Yeah.
Preserve, have you done that? That's cool. It's kind of a little oasis as well that people can go to if they want to take a little boardwalk kind of walk
There
through
are
the.
more challenging hikes there too. It's almost a choose your own adventure kind of park because there's, disabled access, boardwalk, wheelchair accessible. And then there's a trail that goes all the way up to the top of the
Yep.
ridge. And if you go deeper into that canyon, you can see some weird stuff too. It's great for bird watching, but there's like junked, rusty cars on the side of the trail. It's really fascinating. And you can keep going back and see something different every time the way that the trails are laid out.
Oh, and that, going back to Joshua Tree, so you have the Hall of Horrors and all of that with the well, it is when you get and see all the, the rock formations and everything, but especially in winter if you get good rain, and then also in summer if you get monsoons, there's Barker Dam, and if you do that trail through Barker Dam, the petroglyphs are around the corner
Oh,
there,
yeah.
and that's a cool place for people to go and see. Unfortunately, a movie crew went in and screwed up the petroglyphs, but they're still there for you to see, which is pretty cool to see. So then, and that's the other thing, you've got cattle ranching history inside the park, which is something people don't expect, is to find all this other kind of history of the park. In closing, any special nature spot? We talked about Whitewater and Joshua Tree and Anzorego, but do each of you have like a scenic drive or a place to go that's more on the nature side that you think people should experience?
I'll chime in. I love, if you're not up for hiking but you want to experience some nature, I love the Palms to Pines Highway. Taking that from essentially like Palm Desert area up into the mountains through the San Jacinto Monument. You could take it all the way to Idlewild. Idlewild, completely different landscape, mountain town, alpine forest essentially. And then Idlewild has some like weird stuff that you can experience, not just the dog mayor Max, but also speaking of cryptids, it has the idol beast who you might run into when you're in town at the local bookstore.
Like this.
He's
What about
very
you, Kevin?
friendly.
Well, I would have said Whitewater, but my sort of, I call this my like coffee break spot getaway. So it's a really busy trail during season, but the Lichen Trail, which is right in Palm Springs at the end of Ramon, I don't do the whole trail. But sometimes if I need like a mental health break, I'll go and just hike up the first little batch of switchbacks. And there's this overlook that you can see the entire Coachella Valley. And it's so peaceful. And if people are even hiking there, you can kind of still stop, sit on the rock, and they leave you alone. Like I've sat there in like a half lotus and just like meditated, and people just walk by you. So even if there's like a million people hiking, it's still like a little cut of peace and quiet. And it's right behind like Ingleside Inn. It's like right over off of Ramon. And it's basically downtown.
Oh, that's cool to do. That's, I think, especially when you get in from, driving somewhere and you check into your room, it's good to take a, if you, depending on the weather, to go take a walk and kind of get the drive off your shoulders, Kim, where's your special nature place? I know you brought up Whitewater. Do you have any places in particular you like?
I really like heading up the mountain via the tram, and I like to do it late in the day because I like, I shouldn't say like, I love coming down via the tram after dark.
Oh.
It is a very different experience. So you're heading up the mountain during the daylight. You can, there's hiking trails of all different levels up there. You can have a really nice dinner at Peak Restaurant, which they serve very good food, but I like coming down the mountain on that tram after dark. It is just a very different, it's kind of a sacred experience. So that would be my pick. I do have something I would like to mention though, in terms of quick road trips. If you've got kids, especially kids that are into dinosaurs, you got to go out and see the Cabazon dinosaurs. It was originally built as a roadside attraction, like mid-60s, and they've got two massive dinosaurs, Mr. Rex and Dinny, Diney, Diney, and It is just kind of a trippy little weird place. You know, it was originally built to attract people to a little cafe. For a while it became when the founder died, what was his name?
Claude Bell.
Claude Bell, thank you. When he passed away, it became a Christian fundamentalist group bought it, and they kind of built this creationism museum there. And now it's back to being this tourist attraction. And the dinosaurs get repainted, you know, like for the holidays. So, you know, you have this huge T-Rex, and he's painted like Santa Claus during Christmas season. And kids, it's a great place to take the kids, let them kind of do their kid thing, run off some energy, and kind of mess around. And frankly, it's good for the kid and all of us too, you know.
Who
So I
doesn't
wanted
want
to
to
get
play with
that one in
dinosaurs?
because
I
it's a trippy little
yeah.
place.
Also movies. It was in
Very.
Tears for Fears video.
Yeah, and
Oh my gosh.
Everybody
Yeah.
Wants to Rule the World. Yep.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Pee-wee's
Pee-wee's
Big
Big
Adventure,
Adventure.
Oh
The
my gosh.
Wizard.
In
Yeah.
fact, when he died, when Pee-wee Herman died, they painted the dinosaur in his little, you know, his little gray suit. Remember how he always wore that little gray suit? Yeah. So,
That's
in his
cool. That's
honor.
cool. This is good stuff. I'm ready to hit the road. Let's go to Palm Springs, everyone. Go to
Yes.
authentic. Yes, I think so. Go to authenticpalmsprings.com and check out all the boutique hotels and plan your adventure. Go to avoidingregret.com to keep up with Sandy's work and also for Kevin. Go to crypticcocktails.com. All the links are in the show notes. I'll make sure to put that one about the calling all earthlings about the Integraton on there too. And thank you all for joining us. It's been a fun show.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Palm Springs Sunshine Stays show. You can catch new episodes at noon Pacific time every fourth Saturday at bigblendradio.com. Plan your vacation. Go to authenticpalmsprings.com.